Back in his room, Frank built a small fire in the stove, wedged a straight-backed chair under the doorknob, and went to bed. He was up and moving at 5 in the morning. He took Wolf out for a walk in the alley and found the ground snow-free. It was cold, but not unbearably so. Frank rolled Jeff out of bed.
Let's get the hell out of this town, Jeff.
Ugh, suits me.
We going across the mountains?
Maybe. Depends on the weather. We'll know in a day or two, then we'll decide.
The two men were riding out of town an hour later, Wolf resting in his pouch on the pack saddle. Frank cut south after checking the sky several times. It was flat-looking, had a strangeness to it that Frank didn't like.
I figure we can make it over the pass in a few hours. Then we'll pick up the road through the valley. Beats the hell out of being caught in the mountains during a blizzard.
How far is the nearest town?
Day and a half, maybe 2 days easy riding. There's a stage stop halfway. I know it's still there because the stage is still running. We can make that easy.
They made the stage stop by early evening and got their horses stabled just as the sky began dumping snow. Great big wet flakes that clung to a person's clothing for a few seconds before melting. The stage was there and going to be there for a while, maybe all night. A busted axle. The passengers, 4 men and 2 women, were just sitting down to supper when Frank and Jeff walked in.
Howdy, boys. Come on in. Got beef, beans, and biscuits for supper.
Sounds good. Got any coffee ready?
About a gallon over yonder. Help yourself.
Whew. 3 more coming in. Better toss some more steaks in a skillet and give the beans another stir. It's got to snowing so hard you can't hardly see your hand in front of your face.
Frank poured himself a cup of coffee and stepped back into the deep shadows of the big room. He fixed Wolf a place in the stable with the horses and fed him with chunks of the steak he and Jeff took from the dining room the previous night. Frank would also take him whatever scraps were left from tonight's supper table. New guests arrived. Frank didn't like the looks of any of the 3 newcomers. He recognized their type immediately. Trouble hunters, gun slicks, and probably bounty hunters out to collect the $15,000 that bastard Dutton put on his head.
Promises to be a very interesting evening.
Frank slipped the hammer thong off his .45 just in case.
Find a place to sit, boys, or squat on the floor if you like. I'll have some food ready for you in a little while.
Sounds great to me. Right now, that coffee sure smells good.
Help yourself. There's plenty. Cups hanging from hooks in the kitchen.
The 3 men dumped their bedrolls and saddlebags on the floor by the door and walked over to the stove in the kitchen just off the main room. Frank was almost hidden in the shadows, and none of the 3 paid him any mind. Jeff was across the room, sitting on a bench, sipping his coffee in silence. He had sensed something was wrong by Frank's behavior.
Any lone riders come by today?
I haven't seen a soul all day. Of course, I ain't been looking neither.
The 4 men seated at the long table were concentrated on eating, paying no attention to anything else. The women were picking at their food. The entire group looked very road-weary. The 3 toughs took off their heavy coats and hung them from pegs. Frank took note the trio were all armed. Each man wore a pistol, tied down. One of them wore his pistol on the left side, butt forward for a cross-draw. Only man Frank ever knew who was fast with a cross-draw was Smoke Jensen. Frank swallowed the last of his coffee and stepped out of the shadows, heading for the pot for another cup, just as the 2 other toughs walked back into the main room. They stood in silence as Frank poured another cup and then stood with his back against a wall. They also took careful note that Frank held the coffee cup in his left hand. His right hand was near the butt of his .45.
You sure look familiar.
Is that right?
Where are you from?
Here and there.
Well, that don't tell me nothing at all.
Maybe it's none of your business.
The trio exchanged glances at that.
Just trying to be friendly. Gonna be a long night. We ought to try to get along.
Frank sipped his coffee and said nothing. The station master and the stage driver were watching and listening intently, sensing trouble was building. One of the 2 women was watching, her eyes on Frank. She was young and very pretty, maybe 19 or 20. Heart-shaped face and a pile of dark hair. Her clothing was expensive, and her little hat was about the silliest-looking thing Frank ever saw.
It's crowded in here, boys.
For a fact.
What's that got to do with anything?
You got any pie?
Nope. You just said what there was to eat.
How about some drinking whiskey?
Bar's in the next room. I'll be along to serve you.
Two of the traveling men stood up and walked into the saloon area of the stage stop come general store.
Why don't we go in there and have a friendly drink or two?
Not much of a drinking man.
Frank held up his coffee cup.
This is fine with me.
Good God Almighty. That's Frank Morgan.
All eating and drinking and conversation at the table ceased, and all heads turned to stare at Frank in silence.
Evening, folks. Don't let me disturb your meal. Go right ahead. I'll just stand here, drink my coffee.
I knowed it was him.
Shut up, Gene.
Shut up yourself, Hal. Let's take him.
$15,000, Hal. Think about it.
Not here, Ben. Not now. Too many people.
$15,000? What about $15,000?
See what you started, Ben?
Yeah, boys. Tell me about this $15,000. Sounds real interesting. What do I have to do to earn it?
You're a real smart mouth, aren't you, Morgan?
Forget it, Gene.
The hell I will. I just don't like you, Morgan. Come to think of it, I ain't never liked you. I think all them books and such that was writ about you is all lies. I don't think you're a fast draw, and I think you're a damn coward to boot. Now, what do you think about that?
It's nice to know that you can think. But what would you know about books, Gene? You have to be able to read to know anything about books.
I can read writing. I sure can. What are you trying to say, Morgan, that I'm stupid?
Well, yes.
What's going on here? I don't understand any of this.
Shut your mouth, Missy. This is none of your affair.
Well, you certainly don't have any manners, you hooligan.
Oh, be quiet, you old bag.
Old bag!
Frank sipped his coffee and smiled at the exchange. One of the nicely dressed men at the table rose to his feet.
Now, see here, you can't talk to Mrs. Overhauser in that manner.
Go to hell.
Overhauser? The hell kind of a name is that?
Are you really the notorious killer, Frank Morgan?
I'll admit to being Frank Morgan, but I'm not a notorious killer.
You certainly don't look like a killer to me.
He ain't nothing. Big mouth is all.
I wasn't speaking to you. I was addressing Mr. Morgan.
Well, la-dee-da. Excuse the hell out of me.
You're excused. Now be quiet.
Say what? Don't you tell me to be quiet, you little piece of fluff.
Don't you dare speak to me in such a manner. I'll slap your face.
And I'll knock you clear into the next room, you big-mouthed heifer.
You will do no such thing, you thug.
Sit down, fancy pants, before you get called out.
Out where? What are you talking about, sir?
That's it. Everybody just settle down.
I think that's a good idea.
Who cares what you think? I sure as hell don't.
Frank stepped away from the wall and positioned himself to one side of the table, putting the passengers as much out of harm's way as possible. He sensed Gene was working himself up to pull on him.
Hold it. No gun playing here. You sit down and have something to eat, Gene. There's always tomorrow.
Maybe I don't want to wait until tomorrow. How about you, Morgan?
Too many people in this room, Gene. Too much of a risk of innocent people getting hurt.
Then let's go outside.
It's too cold out there, Gene. You ever been shot in real cold weather? No. Well, cold weather makes the wound hurt real bad.
I don't plan on you wounding me, Morgan. Now, what do you think about that?
I don't plan on wounding you either, Gene.
Oh?
No. If you're stupid enough to draw on me, I plan to kill you.
Fuck you, Morgan!
You can cuss me all you like, partner. Words just bounce off me.
Bullets won't, you bastard!
Gene!
Shut up! Damn you, hook and draw, Morgan!
After you, Gene.
Gene grabbed iron. Gene was fast, but not fast enough. The man cleared leather as Frank's bullets tore into him. Frank fired twice, the shots so close together they almost sounded as one. Gene doubled over in shock and pain and grabbed for the edge of a straight-backed chair for support. The chair gave way under his weight and the bounty hunter hit the floor.
Anybody else want to get into this game?
Frank held the .45 in his hand, hammer back. A faint wisp of smoke leaked from the barrel.
Not me, Morgan. But it isn't over. Not by a long shot.
I'm out of it. I want to see about Gene, all right, Morgan?
Go ahead.
Ben knelt down beside his partner for a few seconds, then looked over at Hal.
He's done for.
Kill that son of a bitch for me. Avenge me. Promise me you will.
I'll get him, Gene. I promise you I will.
Oh, I think I'm going to faint.
The older woman put the back of one hand to her forehead.
All this violence is so upsetting.
I sure wish there was some pie for dessert. Pie always settles my stomach after a meal.
You barbarian! How can you think about eating after all this violence?
Cause I'm still hungry, lady.
Ugh.